Father, again, we are thankful. Thankful for your goodness to us. Thankful for your great salvation. Thankful for your spirit that you have deposited in us, that you have sealed us with your spirit. Lord, thankful that, Lord, you are with us, that you go before us, that you are beside us, that you are behind us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your very presence. And nothing and no one can be a substitute for your presence. Lord, we thank you for angels and angelic beings, but Lord, they cannot substitute in any way, shape, or form for your presence. So Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we thank you also for your word. And Lord, we ask by your spirit to continue to minister to us through your word. Father, we ask you for a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened as your word comes forth. Lord, we ask, O God, to help us to receive your word and that your word would edify us. And that in the middle of your word, as it comes forth, we might see Christ and he might receive all the glory. So, Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen. It really is, week after week, very interesting to see how the Lord ministers to us through our time of worship. I know oftentimes it aligns with some of what he says to us through his word. Over the last several months, on Wednesday night, we studied the book of Ephesians, and we've completed that book now. So we just started the background to Philippians. So just to let you know that you're interested in a good time to join the Bible study. Now is a good time. But as I've been in Ephesians for so many weeks and months, I just thought there were some things out of this book I needed to share with us corporately here. And I said, as we sang this morning, some of the things that are in this book just came back to me. So for example, could you put up on the screen there Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 6. Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 6, it says, he predestined us, just as Sean was sharing, he predestined, that's long before, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In fact, let's go back to verse 4, Ephesians 1, verse 4. Okay. It says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, so it's before the foundation of the world he chose us, that we be holy and blameless before him. And then now here's the love part we've been singing about. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. So, you see, a lot of what he said to us this morning started up in these two verses. As we sang about his love, sang about the fact that we are his children, and this is part of his plan from long ago, before we were even in our mother's womb. This was how God was thinking about you, thinking about me, and put his plan into effect. I want to share next few weeks on the spiritual battle that we are in. And you know, when we were going through this book in Ephesians and we reached chapter 6, which deals with the spiritual battle, one of the questions that was asked was, why did Paul wait until the end of this book to talk about spiritual warfare? Why? You could have spoken about it at any point throughout the book. But it seems as if, and I, you know, obviously it is part of God's way of doing things. It seems as if Paul wanted the church to understand some things first. Because in Ephesians 6, this is where I'm going, Ephesians 6 and verse 10, it starts by him saying, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. So he's wrapping things up and he's now saying, haven't told you all of these things, haven't told you, haven't told me that you have been in love, his love, from before the foundations of the world. He predestined me, he predestined you to be a child of God, to be adopted as a child of God, to receive, in fact, the verse before that in Ephesians 1 talks about us receiving all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You have received all of these things, and in the weeks to come, we'll go back and look at those things, but I want to start with Ephesians 6 because it helps me to better understand things as we go through the book. You know, sometimes I watch some of these English mystery movies, and sometimes it's like, oh, I don't understand what's going on. Until I reach the end, I'm like, oh, I need to watch the show again because now I can see what's really going on in this movie. It's the same type of thing here. That, you know, when you reach the end and you realize that Paul is climaxing this book about, you realize, oh, so you're coming to this point. Nathaniel reminded us about being prepared. So you're coming to this point. So why are you telling me all of these things before? And so when we look at this spiritual battle, it helps me to better appreciate why he's telling me all these things before. That I'm a son of God, I'm a child of God. He loves me, he has given me all these spiritual blessings, etc. Because it's going to help me to, one, find strength in the Lord. It's going to help me to be prepared. Thanos talked about being prepared. And as you know, in Ephesians 6, it talks about us wrestling. It's like a wrestle. He's a coach, help coach wrestling sometimes. You have to prepare that athlete to know how to pin somebody, how to avoid being pinned. So you have to have the offensive move and the defensive move. And so Paul is trying to help the church to get ready. He's saying, you know, we have this spiritual battle and you need to be prepared. Because it's like he was saying, trust me, you're going to end up experiencing what he calls the evil day. When the enemy comes at you in full out, all blown force, and if you're not prepared beforehand, it's going to be tragic. Even though you're all these things, sons of God and all these things, if you're not prepared beforehand, it's going to be tragic. But when you know who you are and you know all the different things that come before, it helps you and me to get ready and to be prepared and to anticipate that he will come. But we already know that we are victorious because he says that in Ephesians 1, that Christ is already seated there. Ephesians 2, that you and I are seated in Christ. So we're not wrestling to get victory, but we're wrestling from a place of victory. But all these things tie into helping us to appreciate when he says, finally be strong in the Lord. And so I'm going to read Ephesians 6 now from verse 10 through to verse 20. Finally, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his mind. Put on the full armor of God so you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle, or wrestle, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand. Not to be pinned, but to stand. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of the faith with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So as I have been meditating on this and acknowledging and realizing and seeing it all around me that we're in a spiritual battle, it just helped me to see what's happening around me in a different light. There's a kingdom of darkness, and the world would like us to believe that there's no such thing. But those of us who have been born again, you can see it all around you. It's there. And it comes at us, I put here, you have three different dimensions. You have actual satanic beings that Paul makes mention of here. You have a spiritual atmosphere. And then you have people who are part of the kingdom of darkness. And this kingdom of darkness, according to the scriptures, you know, Satan is the one who's won over it. And he has his headquarters set up in the second heavens because, according to Jesus, he was kicked out of heaven. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And so it seems as if he operates from that second heaven, can go and see it and appear before the Father, but he also comes into the earth with his beings and create problems. But the important thing for you and I to realize is that this kingdom is well organized. So verse 12 says, our struggle is not against people, even though the devil uses people. And you and I should not get distracted by focusing on the people, but to realize that there's something much bigger that's at stake. That we are warring against, and he lists at least four different types of spiritual beings here. He talks about rulers, against powers. The word for powers in the Greek there can be translated as authorities. You have rulers and authorities. Then he talks about world forces of this darkness. Well, and then spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So, as I was meditating on that, and we'll, you know, talk about it a little bit more, and I talk about the spiritual atmosphere, it really dawned on me that we have all different levels of spiritual beings that come against us. And Satan rules in different ways, in different locations. And many of you realize that as you travel, you go to some places and you can actually sense a difference there from in different places. If you go to New York, you sense different things. You can sense if an area is captured by fear or drugs. You can sense it. So where you are is important in terms of understanding how to stand and how to war. But the important thing is that all of these creatures, all of these satanic beings, they recognize spiritual authority. They recognize the name of Jesus Christ. They know that they have been defeated. In fact, in Colossians, I think it's Colossians 2, I have Colossians 1, but I think it's Colossians 2, where Paul talks about that Jesus triumphed over these beings through the cross, and he made a public display of them, of principalities and powers mentioned there, just as a subset of all of these people, that they were publicly in the spiritual realm defeated by Jesus Christ. And that's why Christ could say, all authority has been given unto me. And that's why Ephesians 1 would say about him being seated far above principalities and powers and names and everything that can be named in this age and the age to come. In other words, he's already, all of them have been defeated. They know that. The problem is that oftentimes we don't fully appreciate that. But they recognize spiritual authority. And so they were the ones, one of the demons that said to the sons of Sceva in Acts 19 when they were trying to cast out the spirit, they said, Paul, we know because we've encountered him and we've been severely beaten. And Jesus, we know. Oh, yeah, we know him. But who are you? In other words, they had no relationship with Christ. They weren't walking with Christ. So as far as this satanic spirit was concerned, You are nothing. And so that man that had the spirit, it says that he beat the seven sons of Sceva and they ran away from him with their clothes torn up. So the important thing is that for you and me to realize that when we are in Christ, the devil knows. You see, we can't fool him. He knows. It's all over us when we are walking with Christ, when we are in Christ. And he will respond accordingly. Because he recognized that we are functioning with the authority of Christ. But if you're not walking with Christ, you're just child's play for the devil. He's just going to run havoc in your life and in your circumstances. And anything you do or say, he's just like laughing at you. So that's part of the reason why Paul was telling the people all of these things beforehand. For them to know that they are in Christ and therefore they can stand. Therefore they have authority. These spiritual beings can exercise supernatural power. In Acts 16, we just talked about this at the background to Philippians last week. There was a girl with a spirit of divination going before Paul, declaring that, you know, this man is speaking a way of salvation. And this girl was a slave. She brought in a lot of money for her masters because she could predict people's future. She could tell them about things in their past. And when Paul drove out that spirit, she lost that ability. In other words, she wasn't a fake. If you're a fake, it really doesn't matter what happened. You can continue faking. No, she was a real deal. She was the one who was in touch with the satanic spirits that gave her information supernaturally about people. And so it's important for you and I to realize that people still function like that. People still give themselves over to the enemy, and the devil does reveal to them supernatural things, but that doesn't mean that they're walking with God. You see? So, but these beings can exercise power, and they can sometimes hinder the answers to our prayers. And we saw that in the book of Daniel, that, you know, as Daniel prayed, that the prince of Persia resisted the angel that was coming with the answers to his prayer. So all sort of stuff is happening in the spiritual realm that you and I need to be aware of. So Paul says there in Ephesians 6:12 that they talk about the world forces of this darkness. That there is a darkness that is over the world. That is actually spreading. I remember, I think it was last summer. I think it was in the summer. We had some very hazy, smoke-filled days in this area. How many of you remember that? In fact, I think they were at one point advising people not to spend time outside if you don't have to. Now, where was that haze coming from? Canada. You know what I'm saying? It's not coming from up Rolla. It's coming from Canada, hundreds of miles away. And yet it's coming down here and affecting us. When Paul talks about world forces, the word in the Greek actually means world rulers. It's, I put it down there and see the actual Greek word. It's world rulers of darkness that spread darkness. All, the word world is important. All over the world. You understand what I'm saying, friends? It's not just limited to an area here, but there are certain... The darkness is spreading all over the world. I'll give you an example. This transgender ideology. How many know it's spreading all over the world? All over the world. Just spreads. Because there are spiritual beings behind that way of thinking that just carries it. I was reading about a parliamentarian, a representative there in Finland, a Christian woman, being a part of a certain denomination, and that denomination was embracing or has embraced this transgender idea. And so she spoke out against it. She spoke against it, saying from her understanding of the Bible, that is wrong. And she was taken to court. By whoever's the prosecutor there. And she won in the lower court. And so the prosecutor took her to the higher court. And she won there. And now the prosecutor is taking it to the Supreme Court there in Finland, in Helsinki. In other words, some people in that culture have already bought into this idea, this darkness that spread. And they are prepared to stand for it and to do whatever they need to do to stand for it. You can take the abortion, the darkness that comes with that, that our Supreme Court made a ruling. But how many know that the people who are influenced by this darkness, they don't want to sit back and relax? That this darkness is pervasive, and so there is an initiative, I think, still out there trying to get that on the ballot here in Missouri to overturn, or at least to make it legal, that abortion here in Missouri. So this darkness, my friends, in other words, I'm saying to you and to me, that when Paul talks about this here, it's not just some little nice sounding words he's using. He's using words to actually describe the forces that the enemy has that spread these things. And in fact, I don't like the word forces, because forces make it seem like, you know, it's just like magnet, magnetic force or something. These are actual spiritual beings. And so the word in the Greek is actual world rulers of darkness. That's part of what we battle against. Spiritual wickedness, the Bible says, in heavenly places. How many know things like human trafficking is worldwide? And unfortunately, some of the people who are in places of leadership are involved in it. Spiritual wickedness. You see? It's perhaps only, and this might be generous, perhaps only 10% of the shows on television are wholesome. As I said, that might be generous. I was looking at a show that came on back in 2011. And I was like, whoa. Look at the families. No, it was so wholesome back then. Today, there's no show that they're not telling you that you have this same gender marriage or some sort of stuff like that. And I'm like, the spirit of darkness is at work and it's there spreading. And friends, just like going out on one of those hazy, smoky days, if we are not careful, if you don't have to protect yourself, it will affect how you think and how you function. And before you know it, you're saying, well, that's not too bad. That's like the frog inside the pot as the water is just gradually being warmed. And why this is important as we talk about have this conference coming up in terms of the battle for the seed, because the enemy is after the generation. And when we say seed, we're not necessarily limiting it to children. We're talking about the next generation. Some of them are young people, young adults, some in their 20s, in their 30s, some even in their 40s. But this world, this spiritual wickedness, it's just spreading. And many times in the church, we are unaware, and we perhaps have buried our head in the sand as if, no, it's not happening. Help us, Lord. The word, I'm skipping B, I'm coming back to B. The word for wickedness, C3, in the Greek is pornea, from which we get pornography. Wickedness. Same Greek word from which we get pornography. Graphy means pictures. And how many of you know that this wickedness of pornography has spread all across the globe? And our children are targets. And it's becoming more and more just in your face. And so I'm thankful for some of our legislators who are trying to get laws passed to make it more difficult for pornography to come up on the screen of your children's smartphones. But the enemy knows no bounds. You see? And so we need to wake up. In fact, Paul says that in Ephesians. He says, awake thou that sleepest, and realize what's happening all around you. But you see, as you're awaken, if you don't know who you are, etc., you're going to faint. So that's why he says to them to be strong in the Lord, you see. But to me, it's pretty exciting to see some of the things happening around us and realize that this book already describes it. So what we have then, if you're talking about darkness, it's pervasive. But the good news is Jesus Christ is the light. That's what John says in John chapter 12. John 8 and verse 12. John 8 and verse 12, it says, then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the good news is that Jesus is the light of the world. John says that the place was in darkness, but light came in and the darkness could not overpower the light. That's in John 1. But he says that men love darkness rather than light. That's John 3. Why? Because their deeds are evil. So the darkness and evil goes together. You see? But the light has come into the world, and you and I, Paul goes on to say that when we are in Christ, we become light. But let me read what John says. John 12 and verse 35. So Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk like you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. Then John 12, 46 says, "I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness." So Jesus is the light, and as you and I accept Christ, we become light, we become children of the light, we reflect the light to the world. God's word is also light. And that's what the psalmist says. He says, "Thy word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet, and a light to my path." Psalm 119. So God's word is also what gives us light. So the enemy knows that, so that's why many, many years ago, they took the light out of our schools. You see? I don't know if you can see how the enemy is well organized. Took the light out of our schools. That lady in Finland, that parliamentarian, one of the things that she's been charged with for quoting scripture is hate speech. That the Bible is hate speech. Because anything that does not accept darkness is considered as hate in today's world. But without the light, the darkness remains, and people stumble, and people get hurt, and things will go from bad to worse. As I put here, darkness really is an absence of light. So you take away God's word, and automatically you're going to have darkness. You see? You don't have to do anything else. Just take away the word, and you're going to get darkness. So it amazes me that people would want to bring into our schools and into curriculum all sorts of darkness, but they don't want the Bible. The Bible to be in our schools. Isn't that amazing? Let's think about that. You want to teach our young children about alternative stuff, but you don't want to give them a chance to look at what the Bible says, a different view. It's amazing. So in the spiritual atmosphere of darkness, where the word of God is removed, then our culture and everything which is not based upon the word of God becomes darkness. You see? The world system becomes a place of darkness. The beliefs that people have become strongholds of darkness. And we end up degrading human life because you take away the truth. So we talk about, and maybe this might not be allowed on the social media out there, because they would prefer that darkness be spread than the truth of God's word. So now what we talk about is women's reproductive rights and women health care, which I'm all for. If women need to get mammograms, go ahead and get your mammograms, and go ahead and get all of your health care that you need. But they don't want to use the term, you know, we just talk about pro-life. They don't want to use that word life anymore. They want to, because, you know, really it's If you're not pro-life, it means you're pro the opposite of life, which is death. You see? So they don't want to say, well, what about the life of the unborn child? Don't we want to protect that child too? And so they don't want to phrase it in a way that people realize what's really happening. That is more than just health that they're concerned about. They really are concerned about taking the life of the unborn child. See? So we need to realize and see what's happening and not allow things to be covered in all sort of terminology, which is not really that you're after, is this thing over here. So it ends up degrading human life, and you can see the consequences. You see the violence taking over our schools, as young people will just kill other young people, kill children, for many cases no sane reason. It's like, why are you killing a 6-year-old child? Why are you taking a gun to an elementary school to kill children? It doesn't even make sense. That's because darkness has taken over people's thinking. That's what Romans 1 says, that when the truth about God is suppressed, then God steps back and darkness enters. The hearts become darkened. And it comes along now and robs people of their identity. And so that's how I end up now with people not even knowing who they are. That's how you end up with all these gender issues. That no longer do we want to call it a dysphoria, because that is offensive to some group of people. And we want to make laws, and we actually have places in this country where children can make decisions to transgender, to change their gender, and the parents don't even have a clue. I mean, how can that even make sense? They can't go and buy cigarettes or alcohol, but they can make decisions that will change them physically for life without their parents knowing. Tell me that is not darkness. So you can see the increase in this darkness and spreading, my friends, worldwide. You see? So when we're talking about us then warring spiritually, we need to appreciate the dimension of the war. It comes to us on a personal level, but it also comes on a corporate level. We talk about the citizens of darkness. These are the unsafe people who are held captive by the devil. Paul says in Ephesians 2 that that's a spirit that's at work in the children of disobedience. And so some of these people will not have any qualms about taking the life of somebody else who stands in their way so that they can get the right to kill an unborn child. It amazes me. What Satan has blinded, or Satan blinds the mind of the unbeliever, so not only they can't see the light of the gospel, but they can't even recognize truth. They can't recognize God's word. They can't recognize the inconsistencies. As I mentioned before, they avoid the light because of their evil deeds. So they don't want anything to be examined in the light of Scripture. Someone I know talked about the Bible being an ancient book, suggesting that it doesn't apply to us anymore. And I'm like, you know, the Bible is written to help us to understand God and know God, and describe humans and how they are, and that has not changed. None of those things have changed. It remains the same. Become even more obvious. So that's part of what then Paul's emphasis in writing Ephesians was to get them to that point to realize the level of their warfare. In their time, some of the world powers of darkness included, in fact, the term was used for emperors. Some of the Roman emperors would spread their stuff. Let me read the scripture for us. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 2. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality. And the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. I heard a voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquity.'" "Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her, to the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, 'I sit as queen, and I am not a widow, and will never see mourning.' For this reason, one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she'll be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city, Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come.'" So what the enemy does, he raises up people, world leaders, cities, countries that become epicenter for the spread of darkness, the spread of immorality. Yeah. And cause other nations to participate in it. You have organizations that are intended for good that the enemy uses for evil. I remember a few years back, Uganda passed a law outlawing homosexuality. They were in the process of getting a loan from the World Bank. And the World Bank says, "We're not giving you this loan because we don't like your law." Yep. World forces of darkness. Our country has withheld aid from some countries because we don't like their laws. We want them to legalize certain types of lifestyle, even though the people believe the Bible and want to live by the truth. So that's the type of battle that we are in, my friends. And this becomes important now because we battle this on all different fronts. Battle it on our own prayer life. But as you can see, these things affect us educationally, it affects us politically, it affects us in all different spheres, and so we have to be alert in all of these areas as we stand as a people of God and as we move forward. We have to be alert. What's happening in education? What are the things being taught to my kid? What are the things being put forth? What are my political leaders? What do they stand for? Where are they headed? Because people in authority have the privilege of releasing good or bad into certain circumstances. Just like you, as head in your own home, you have the privilege of deciding what happens in your home. If you're going to allow good or you're going to allow evil. Well, the same thing happens in our country on a political level. So it should be important for you and the island to know when it comes to some of these things of darkness, where some of our leaders stand, and to know how to appropriately respond. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So while we're praying and doing other things, there are other steps that we need to take and to be prepared. And that's what Paul goes on to talk about, the full armor of God, to be prepared, which we'll talk about at some other time. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. That's just an introduction to the nature of the war that we are in. It comes against us in our minds, in our thoughts. It comes against us in a very subtle way. And we can be caught off guard, and before we know it, we're in some serious trouble, and our children are in serious trouble. So I put here in the notes, as Sean gets ready, some steps that we need to take to be victorious is to submit ourselves to God, submit our thoughts, every area of our lives to the Lord. That James says that submit to God, then you can resist the devil. And pray for revelation. Pray that God give us insights into who Christ is, but also revelation as to what's happening all around us. And make sure we're dressed in the full armor of God, because it's a war. It's not, you know, a little game in the park. Some of our loved ones have been made captive already. And so we have to stand and pray and believe God to set them free and keep sharing God's word with them. But Satan has held them captive, and I have loved ones like that. We got to discern and pull down strongholds. Understand the strongholds that Satan has established in the minds of people, the ways of belief that exalt itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We got to learn to renew our minds constantly, because these things keep seeping in. Because if they can capture our minds, then they have us. And that's why they start with the kids. If we can capture the minds of the kids, we have them. Let us stand. We've got to learn how to pray. Pray individually and pray corporately. See some of the darkness recede, and to see the light of God shine through into the minds of people. Next time we'll talk more about who we are in the Lord, because Paul spent a lot of time doing that. Understand what it means to be predestined as sons, as children of God. Understand what it means to talk about Christ being head over the church, over all things. Because that's where we are. So we can walk tall. And when God sends you to different places and to different people, you can stand tall because you know who you are. You're not backing down. But this morning, perhaps, there might be people in our midst who you feel as if you have been under attack of the enemy in different ways. And you're saying, Joe Campbell, will you pray with me? But the prayer of agreement is one of the ways to come against the works of darkness. And you're saying, Joe Campbell, will you pray with me? I feel as if the enemy has come against me in this area of my life or in this area of our family. Will you pray with me this morning? I'm going to ask us to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody in this house? A couple of hands, several hands. Let's just raise our hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have given unto us every spiritual blessing, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We thank you that all our needs are met. We thank you, God, we have access to you. We thank you, Lord, that you have already adopted us as your sons and your daughters. You have already given us the place of authority, the privilege. And Lord, you did this in love. Lord, you constantly pour your love in us. Lord, as we sang earlier, Lord God, you are with us. You are for us. You are around us. You are beside us. You are behind us. Lord, we thank you. We belong to you, mighty God. And so, Lord, I pray for all of us, oh God, like Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that Lord, you might open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to see who we are and where we are seated. That, Lord, we might see Christ and see him exalted above every name that can be named. And that, Lord God, we are also seated in him, far above every name that can be named. Father, help us to recognize the authority that you have deposited inside of us. Lord, I pray, oh God, for each person who raised their hand earlier, oh God, concerning different circumstances where the enemy has been creating havoc. And Father, this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I speak to each one of those circumstances, and I command the enemy to back off in the name of Jesus Christ. Now we pull down every stronghold. We pull down everything, oh God, the enemy has established. And we declare freedom. We declare truth. We declare the light of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the power that there is in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we command every one of those circumstances to align themselves with the will of God and the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Now we pray for some of those loved ones, oh God, who the enemy has held captive. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we continue to speak into the spiritual atmosphere. We command freedom. We command deliverance. Lord, we release the light of the gospel to shine again into their darkened mind. Lord, we command the enemy to take his hands off their minds in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ, take your hand off the minds of these prodigals in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, let your light shine so the darkness recedes, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, oh God, those who are bombarded because of health conditions, Lord, we speak healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, that's one of your spiritual blessings that you have given unto your children, healing. And so, Lord, this morning we speak healing into every situation where there's sickness. Lord, for those whose minds, oh God, they're battling mentally, oh God. The enemy has come against them and they're battling mentally. Lord, this morning, oh God, we speak against confusion. We command confusion to be gone. We command depression to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let them come to their senses, Lord, and let the darkness, the dark cloud of depression lift. Lord, you did it for my own son. And so, Lord, I pray you do it, oh God, in the lives of others in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you thanks this morning, oh God, for your goodness to us. And Lord, in every circumstance that is represented here, where the enemy seems to be having a field day, we say, Satan, your time is up. Your time is up. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we thank you, O God, for you moving in, O God, and causing your kingdom to be established, causing your will to be established in every one of those circumstances. Lord, we thank you that we are already victorious. And we have already, O God, because of the work of Christ, we are seated in him, and we therefore rejoice this morning. But, Lord, we continue, O God, to contend for our loved ones. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, those who are bound by this gender dysphoria, set them free, we pray, mighty God. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, and amen. Pastor Sean.
You're rich in love, and you're slow to anger. Your name is great. And your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. On that day, my strength is failing. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness towards us. And yes, Lord, we commit to ourselves, oh God, to live lives of worship. We commit to ourselves, oh God, to exalt the name of Jesus Christ in everything that we do and everything that we say. Now we commit to ourselves to let the light of who Christ is shine through. Now we commit to ourselves, oh God, to declare in the truth of your word. To examine everything around us in the light of your word. And Father, not to back down, but Lord, to find our strength in you, O God, as we go forth with you holding our hands, with you standing by our side, with you all around us. As we go forth, Lord, seeking to rescue people out of darkness and to bring them into the light of Jesus Christ. Lord, in the same way, O God, in which you brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light, so that we can declare the goodness of our God. Lord, we commit to ourselves to do the same for others. Lord, continue to draw us unto yourself. Continue to fill us with your spirit, we pray. And Lord, may you be glorified in us and through us. Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen.